It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 6th day of February, 2020. The second day of the constitutional crisis that continues unabated and unremedied. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that, of course, is also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry madcap, wacky, zany, real-time extravaganza that is The Horn chat room between the hours of 5 and 8 Eastern, 2 and 5 Pacific. When this program is live, just pick out a screen name and a password if you never have before. Jump right in. You'll be greeted by Anatole and Squeaky and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave on the first 70-degree day. Yeah, rub it in, Sparky, there in Northern California. Here? I think somebody peed on the sun or something, because we haven't seen it in so long I've forgotten what it looks like. And the rain just continues, and the rain, it raineth every day, right? Yeah. And so I've heard from my friends down in the CRV, in the Sacrifice Zone, and there's flooding all over southern West Virginia right now. Roads caving in, roads being overtopped with water. That's what happens when you destroy the mountains that used to absorb the rain. And you add in a little climate emergency, and next thing you know, the feces are striking the fan blades. Yep. So every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program being no different. Thanks go out to our subscribers for the 6th day of the month today. Thank you ever so kindly to Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Thank you to Chris in Germany. Thank you to Alex. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans. Thank you to John. Thank you to Bob. Thank you to Don in West Tennistan, and thank you to Kitty in Boston. Thank you, one and all. And by the way, if I did not mention it last night, thanks to Will, known as Billiam in the chat room, Will in Chicago, who got us down to only 255 to finish. Well, so the fundraising goal this evening is 455. And I thought I should update you on a tech issue before we jump back into the cesspit that is Trump-merica and the news thereof. So, you know that while I was gone, the streaming computer died a terrible death. Well, that's true. Brother Deacon Asa says, at least the rain keeps the fine particulates in the air to a minimum. Silver linings, Bob. Silver linings. Absolutely. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. You win the early Little Ray of Sunshine Award for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. So I told you I was going to spend some time trying to diagnose exactly what the hell went wrong with the streaming computer to see if it was fixed. Well, I ordered a new power supply, opened it up, and everything looked sort of ordinary until I removed the old power supply and noticed something. Namely, that the heat sink was only hanging by one of the little ears that the clip clips to. The other one, it turns out, had sheared off, which kind of explained why it was that it would start up for a minute and then just shut right back down. So I don't know if it's dead or not. But I do know that a new motherboard is going to be up around $100. I've already dropped $50 on a power supply. So I went looking, and I can replace it for about $300. A refurbished, serviceable desktop PC. And so that's probably what I'm going to do, because by the time I add it, you know, okay, so $150. And then we get it all put back together, and we still don't know, and only then do we find out if there's been permanent damage done to the CPU from the heat. Holy, these things. So anyway, the fundraising goal is $455 tonight. And Chris in Germany, in addition to being a subscriber, reached out and said, hey, put a challenge on the table to fix that damn computer or get a new computer. And so there's a $200 challenge, a $200 Chris's new streaming PC challenge. Chris in Germany's new streaming PC challenge, so that I don't ruin the Rode laptop just letting it, you know, run forever. And so that's on the table. It's a chance to double your money, and heck, it would knock out the better part of the fundraising goal for the evening. We're at $455, and meeting Chris's challenge would get us to $400 of that $455. So if you'd like to double your contributory money, this is a great opportunity to do that. And then as soon as that happens, I'll order the new PC, and things will get a little closer back to normal, and we'll hopefully get a lot of stuff done over the weekend in terms of making the program sound a little bit better and cutting down some on the clutter in my immediate vicinity. Okay? Okay. There we go. Feel free to jump in. Just run over to headon.live, click on contribute, and go from there. well, it's not just me, apparently. Our buddy Dave in the blind in Talibandiana. Damn it, Sparky, it's colder than hell here in the blind. Fortunately, I have a space heater, but just shut the hell up about your sunny, sunshiny days, please. I'm begging you, brother. By the way, the other day was Christine's birthday. She shares a birthday with Rosa Parks and Alice Cooper. When I told her that, she said, welcome to my nightmare. Now back to your regularly scheduled program. Signed, Dave. Thank you, Dave. Don't be hating on Sparky. Don't be doing that. It's not his fault that he's got lovely weather. It's our fault for living where the weather ain't lovely. Where to go this evening? We are in constitutional crisis. The Constitution has proven that it is not up to the task of defending this country against a corpulent, toxic, hate-filled, ignorant, petty, vain, pervert of a president. And the maggots are doing victory laps. Precious Lindsay is positively full of himself. He's decided to take a pot shot at Bishop Willard Romney. Now look, Bishop Willard is many things, and we have discussed a number of them on this program. His binder's full of women. Poor Seamus the dog. Rafalka. The way he used Bain Capital to go about hollowing out companies and fucking over workers. I mean, that's all part of Bishop Willard's DNA. And as is his apparent devotion, his apparent piety in regard to his religion, you know, the Mormons. And Precious Lindsay, who has never shown much in the way of religious devotion, even though he comes from a wild-eyed religiously fanatical state, you know, South Carolina. Well, he placed a call to the god-awful radio program hosted by Fox News TV Radio Rwanda's Brian Kilmeade, where he decided to go after his brother, Republican. Not a great look for Precious Lindsay, by any stretch of the imagination. And it didn't particularly reflect well on him. You might want to get the hockey puck early this evening.
Let's bring in Senator Lindsey Graham. Senator, I know it's going to be a busy day. The president spoke already. The speaker speaking right now. Now I've had a chance to digest a State of the Union address. Speech aside, the ripping of the script. Rank that in the terms of bizarre things you've seen.
It's tied for first. I'm just leaving some room for what might come, so I'm just going to call it a tie.
You watched it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lindsay's always leaving room for what might come. It looks like I'm going to have to be outside sacrificing another rubber chicken to the goddess of irony in the rain this evening, long about midnight. Oh, well. Happy to do it.
Let's put it this way. It was a political decision to impress the most radical people in the country at the expense of the party, Democratic Party as a whole. The problem is you can't rip up or destroy the accomplishments of the president.
Yeah, Charlottesville, you can't rip that up. You can't bring Heather Heyer back from the dead. You can't rip up the filthy business that he engaged in Ukraine. You can't tear that up. You can't rip up the 10 verifiable, otherwise were he not above the law, chargeable instances of obstruction of justice that are contained in the Mueller report. Yep, them some accomplishments. You can't rip up the fact that we're in a whopping boatload of debt since he came into office and deliberately drove us into that debt. You can't rip up the farmers that aren't farmers anymore because they've lost their farms because of his stupid trade wars. Can't rip that up.
The speech can be torn apart. The accomplishments are there for all to see.
Oh, by the way, and we'll just bounce around here for a minute. The little girl from Philly that Nitwit Nero used as a stage prop in the State of the Union. And by the way, when we talk about things that might go a ways toward fixing this country, the State of the Union is one of them. The State of the Union is mandated by the Constitution. It's one of those things the president just has to do. He does not, however, have to deliver it live and in person in the House of Representatives. He does not have to speak the speech at all. Paraphrasing Shakespeare, do not speak the speech, I pray thee, derpily from your tongue, Nitwit Nero. If we ever get a sane president, may I suggest that it would be a good thing. Now, bear in mind, the multimillionaire for-profit media would probably have to borrow Lindsey's fainting couch if they were to, if anyone were to say this to them straight up. It would probably be a good thing if we went back to the tradition of presidents not giving a State of the Union address publicly. Instead, putting together a written report and sending it to Congress and saying, thank you very much. Here's my homework. I've done my constitutional duty for the year. Talk to you next year. And then, of course, you know, all the pundits and panjandrums on TV and radio and print could take it apart sentence by sentence like a bunch of young pedants trying to sort out just exactly what the fuck T.S. Eliot was talking about in The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. And it would return a modicum of dignity, or at least a modicum of an appearance of dignity, to this country, to our country, if we stopped this carnival sideshow that is known as the State of the Union Address. Because, as was proven this past Tuesday, it has become a mockery of what the Constitution contemplated a State of the Union message would be all about. And I'm not saying that because I'm afraid he's going to be reelected. There's a natural fear that he's going to be reelected. But rather, I'm saying this, whether it be a Democrat or a Republican, let's just be a little less reality TV. Because going forward, he's breaking so many norms that Democrat or Republican people are going to, and we've seen it. I think it starts with Nixon, this idea of calling people out in the audience, doesn't it? Maybe, I don't know. But it's a fairly recent phenomenon. And stand up back there. Let people see you. Let them clap for you. Ah, they're clapping for me too. Bullshit. Get rid of it. Turn in a written report and move on with the business of the people. I think it seems like a fine idea. But anyway, the little girl that he used as a cheap reality TV stage prop in his sickening performance on Tuesday, she didn't win anything. She didn't win a scholarship, the scholarship that she had been the voucher that she had been unable to obtain. It turns out this is entirely a manufactured load of horse shit. Because it has since been confirmed, as of yesterday, that Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, who knows nothing about education except for the fact that she hates the public version of it, you'll notice that in his script on Tuesday, Nitwit Nero made reference to government schools. And that, of course, comes straight out of the most vicious corners of white wing hate radio. I remember a long time back when a creep by the name of Neil Bortz, my stomach's a little upset, Bortz, began using that phrase. They're not public schools. They're government schools. They're government schools where our precious little children are indoctrinated into government, into liking their government and thinking that they've got some part in it, and learning things like science. And we can't have our little precious children learning anything because that makes them harder to rule. And we don't want them thinking they can govern themselves. We want people growing up knowing that they need to be led and need to be ruled. And that's just not happening in the government schools. Government schools. So it turns out that whole thing was a fraud because Betsy DeVos is writing the check for the little girl to go to some religious maniac academy. According to an article in the Detroit Free Press, a DeVos spokeswoman confirmed Wednesday the secretary would provide the money directly to Janiyah Davis, a fourth-grade student, and her mother, Stephanie, who were invited to the speech Tuesday night in Washington. Yeah. So, it was a bribe to get Mama to allow her little girl to be used as a stage prop for the disgusting, corpulent, ignorant, venal, vain, hateful, grifty, grafty, crooked, perverted President of the United States. That and nothing more. And I find it revolting. Wonder how much they paid the 100-year-old Tuskegee Airmen to attend. Not unreasonable to wonder that, is it? Nope, I don't think so. Randy in PA says, don't forget Willard's voting machine company. Yeah, Bishop Willard's got a hand in that, too. Thank you to Charlene, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans, for jumping in on Chris's challenge. That means we got $150 to go on that. And if we can just make it, if we can make all that, I'll order the... I'll order the new computer either this evening or tomorrow. Hopefully have it in by early next week at the latest. Anyway, back to Nitwit Nero. And back to Precious Lindsay. Because Lindsay is such a doggone good moral compass for us all.
So he gives a speech. He gives examples. Doesn't say school choice. Here's the young girl. He doesn't say endless wars have to stop. Here's a soldier coming home. He doesn't say the Medal of Freedom is going to be bestowed on Rush Limbaugh. He bestows it on Rush Limbaugh. He points out the Tuskegee Airmen and the granddaughter and the Space Force. You see it. How important is that?
Well, I thought it was a brilliant display of people and their lives and how it intersects with what we want to be as a country. We want the soldier to come home, but the truth of the matter,
what are we going to? Did you notice that part? Because we haven't really talked much about the State of the Union. Did you notice the part where he did the reality TV, more reality TV, and surprised the military wife by having her husband come down the stairs behind her that he'd arranged to bring home? You know, his brothers and sisters in arms were probably thrilled that somebody got to get out of that death trap in Afghanistan and didn't begrudge it to him. But think about all the thousands of others that just were left to sit there. And think about how hard it's going to be. Because he didn't get brought home for good. I don't think he got rotated home. I'm betting it was just a cheap little bit of liberty. And he'll be back. He'll be back in the dusty shit pit of Afghanistan in no time at all. The saddest part of it, though, I thought, you know, the mother was there with her little daughter, and the little daughter was thrilled to see daddy. And then there was a little boy. Maybe a little bit more than a toddler. But he had no idea who that man in the uniform was. He had to be told, that's daddy. And that just broke my heart. So one imagines there will be a desperate attempt. A desperate attempt for that man to establish that connection and that bond of a father with his little son who has no real idea who he is. And the misanthrope who, by operation of a constitutional anachronism from our days as a slave nation, a slavery nation, used those decent hurting people to aggrandize his own fragile, pathetic, sick, diseased ego. God, what a disgusting thing he is. What a tragedy he is. Back to Lindsay.
Soldiers can't come home until we're safe here at home. We killed Baghdadi, and we were reminded how brutal he was by having to parent.
You know, it's going to be hard to get through this godforsaken clip with him saying stupid shit like that. Our soldiers can't come home until we're safe here at home. Lindsay, honey, we're not under any particular threat from anybody in Afghanistan. No, Lindsay, we're under threat from the people who vote for people like you and shoot up Walmarts in El Paso and AME churches in your own South Carolina and shoot up dance clubs and the streets outside of bars in Dayton, Ohio. Yeah. That's who the threat is. I don't know if you realize this or not, but not too long back, there was a warning put out about domestic terrorism being perpetrated by incels, involuntary celibates. The guys who are so mad that they can't just force themselves on any woman they see fit to do so, and therefore decide to kill people. Yeah, even in this administration, we're learning what a monumental threat incels are to the rest of us. And if our soldiers in the Middle East and in South Asia or Western Asia can't come home until we're safe at home, they're never coming home. Because we cannot and will not be safe at home as long as there are a bunch of gunned up maggots out there trying to get the boogaloo on, as they call it.
Of their daughter there, the Tuskegee Airman General, now General McGee, reminds us of the bravery of those who fought when the country was not opening their arms. It was just amazing. The little girl's hopes of a better school were beginning to be realized. So the point is that she ripped up their accomplishments too. This was a petty, small political gesture.
I agree. Nitwit Nero's reality TV was a petty, small political gesture. Oh, wait, that's not what Precious Lindsay is talking about, is it? No, not hardly. Not hardly. Yeah.
Designed to ingratiate herself to the most radical socialist members of her party, I think.
Or, you know, the members of her party who value the Constitution and the meaning of the Constitution, the structure of the Constitution, the purpose of the Constitution. According to Precious Lindsay there, if you value the Constitution and revere it and honor an oath to it, well, that makes you a radical leftist. How's about that, sports fans?
It's going to backfire. But here's what people are not talking about. This speech of President Trump was excellent, but very clever.
See, this is further confirmation that there is no great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky giving out lightning bolts, because once again, there's no crash of thunder, and Lindsey Graham is still on the line. This is sickening. Skip a bit, brother, shall we?
Help us continue to build up the military, cut taxes, and he's using procedures that would destroy the presidency. The president never was allowed to call a witness.
The thing is, you're talking about X's and O's. He's talking about God.
Okay, this is where we want to be. This is the Romney part. And by the way, he's still lying. Lindsey out there can't win graciously. He's still out there lying. They wouldn't let him call no witnesses. Oh, mercy. He could have called all the witnesses he wanted to in the trial if they decided to have a trial, but they didn't. He was invited to participate in the House Judiciary Committee proceedings. In the depositions that took place in the SCIF, all the Republican members of the committees that were involved with that were welcome and were allowed to ask whatever questions they desired. But instead, Lindsey Graham has to persist in lying about it because, well, he's a Republican, a maggot, and a liar.
Well, that neutralizes any argument when you said God wants me to.
All I can tell you is that God gave us free will and common sense. I used the common sense that God gave me to understand this was a bunch of BS.
See, it wasn't. There's nothing BS about extorting a foreign country for one's own personal political gain. In fact, you can make an argument, if you're some sort of a divine, that the Almighty frowns on that kind of conduct, that it might even, well, there's not even a might of it. It is attributable as a straight-up sin. And there aren't too many faith traditions out there that don't see it that way. But a theologian, Lindsey, ain't.
It was politically driven. It was driven by people who are not looking for the truth. They hate Trump. They were going to impeach him the day he got elected.
Because he became impeachable the day he got elected. The Emoluments Clause alone made him impeachable. They didn't impeach him on the Emoluments Clause because that shit's still going through the courts. But still, nobody made Donald Trump extort a foreign country. He did that of, by, and for himself. But somehow it's somebody else's fault for this member of the party of personal responsibility.
If you can't see through this, you know, your religion is clouding your thinking here. You know, when I go to the meet God at the pearly gates, I don't.
When you go to meet God at the pearly gates, Lindsey, I hope you're going to be planning on wearing your asbestos maiden forms, because it's going to be right scorchy where you're headed.
I don't think he's going to ask me, why didn't you convict Trump? I may be wrong, but I don't think that's going to be on the top of the list.
Well, you are wrong, Lindsey. It is going to be on the top of the list, because when he says, why didn't you convict Trump? If any of this actually happened, it doesn't. There's no heaven. There's no hell. There's no afterlife. There's certainly no pearly gates or streets paved with gold. Can you imagine a Republican getting into a heaven that had pearly gates and streets made with gold? And they'd immediately run fucking wild trying to steal it all and sell it to each other. As long as there are two Republicans left on Earth, they will be doing dirty shit and trying to make a buck off the other one. But yeah, it will be at the top of the list, Lindsey. You liar, you hypocrite, you miserable sack of low country dung. Why didn't you vote to convict Trump? You could have saved children who were being kept in cages in concentration camps, Lindsey. Why didn't you vote to... St. Peter, I recognized it was a lot of BS. Oh, go to hell. What? No, really. The elevator's over there. Get in it. On the way with you. Be gone from my sight. Let me cast you into the lake of eternal fire made for the devil and his angels. If you go in for that kind of verbiage. But Willard Romney's faith, according to Precious Lindsay, has clouded Willard's thinking. God damn, that's sickening. So, remember the National Prayer Breakfast? Remember Maria Butina? Russian firearms aficionada, who it just turns out happens to be really, really good with a gun, to the point of being really good with a gun, as if she had received training from some sort of organization there in Mother Russia. That Maria Butina, who's back in Russia now for some reason or another. Yeah, her. Well, she was actively involved in helping to funnel money, rubles to be particular, through the National Rifle Association and into the pockets and war chests of various and sundry Republicans. But she was also involved with something else. And the Russians were involved with something else. This is verified. This isn't speculation. This happened. It's a fact. They infiltrated the National Prayer Breakfast. And yet, for some reason or another, there are still Democrats who are willing to have anything to do with that ongoing fraud. How about that? Son of a gun. And so they had a national prayer breakfast today. And Flaccid Flavius, well, he showed up and used that platform. See, this is proof that religion means nothing. Faith means actually nothing to Republicans, save for another means of accessing power. And he showed up at the National Prayer Breakfast to take a victory lap on his acquittal, his not guilty verdict. Not innocent, but just not guilty. And what he said was the usual vainglorious, petty, miserable, ignorant, mendacious line of horseshit. But it's not so much the content of what he says. I'm going to play it. Just deal with it. I'm going to play a clip from his remarks. The content is all but negligible. Oh, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa says, these preening maggots who are ripping into Pelosi for her uncivil gestures, are their sphincter muscles as sore about Trump snubbing Pelosi and not shaking her hand? I'm asking on behalf of the non-brain-dead faction of the human species. Well, they've dealt with that, Brother Deacon Asa. He just didn't notice her sticking her hand out there because he didn't notice that the presidents shake hands with the people on the... didn't notice. That's, didn't notice. And while I have said that just now that you can dismiss the content, it is worth noting that at the National Prayer Breakfast, without naming him, Nitwit Nero went after Bishop Willard Romney. Politico reported today that Kevers McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, said, "I never heard the president use the word Romney at the prayer breakfast. I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong, nor do I like people who say, 'I pray for you,' when they know that it's not so. So many people have been hurt, and we can't let that go on." Those were his words. But according to Kevers, Trump didn't say what he said. Kevers went on to say, "I don't think Romney is effective in any shape or form." Meanwhile, out behind the Zion Curtain in Utah, they are celebrating Bishop Willard as a constitutional hero. Apparently, there's a sizable chunk of Mormons out there who don't like Trump at all. But anyway, listen to him listen to his voice.
Thank you.
Did you hear the thank you?
Well, thank you very much. I'm working very hard for you, I will tell you. And sometimes you don't make it easy, and I certainly don't make it easy on you. And I will continue that tradition, if I might, this morning. And, Arthur, I don't know if I agree with you. But I don't know if Arthur's going to like what I'm going to say.
The hell's with his voice? I heard that earlier today, and I was like, is he sick? I mean, when I get sick, and you guys are used to my voice by now, you can tell when I'm not feeling so great, because I don't sound like I ordinarily sound. And as a couple of you wrote to me last week, "Bob, rest, you sound like shit." Felt like it, too. On the rebound. Still got a little congestion going on, but we're getting there. But did you... Because I know that's not just me. And this was early in the morning. So they had to get him dosed up. But they had to get him out and moving and doing before they had a time had enough time to really get him evened out. That's not his usual cross between Carl the assistant greenskeeper and Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys' voice. He sounds more like William Conrad. Kind of growly and grumbly. Something's wrong. Check it out again.
Well, thank you very much. I'm working very hard for you, I will tell you.
That's not the EQ on the mic. That's not the EQ on the PA system. That's him.
And sometimes you don't make it easy, and I certainly don't make it easy on you. And I will continue that tradition, if I might, this morning. And, Arthur, I don't know if I agree with you.
They're laughing. Those allegedly Christian maggots are laughing.
But I don't know if Arthur's going to like what I'm going to say.
It sounds like he's talking through a toilet paper tube with wax paper and a rubber band on one end.
But I loved listening to you. It was really great. Thank you very much. And thank you, Congressman, for the great job you've been doing and the relationship and the help. You're a warrior. Thank you very much. And Kevin, you're a warrior. Thank you. The job you've done is incredible. It wasn't supposed to be that way. A lot of extra work, unnecessary work. It's wonderful to be with the thousands of religious believers for the 68th annual National Prayer Breakfast. I've been here from the first one where I had the privilege of being asked. I've been with you for a long time before that. And
yeah, you remember it. 2017 National Prayer Breakfast, when he used the National Prayer Breakfast to talk about the ratings for The Apprentice. No, yes. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, Todd in South Carolina stands, says, okay, the leader's possessed by a demon. This is one of those situations where if demons were real, it might be somewhat, reassuring. Because there would be some external force that could explain this. But no, there's no demon. He is an unwell man. We've known how mentally ill he is since before the election was stolen. But I think we're getting a sense now of how genuinely sick he really is.
We've made tremendous progress. You know what we've done? I don't think anybody's done more than all of us together during this last 3 years.
He's croaking like Pepe the Frog. And yet, I'm discussing this. And yet I heard quite a bit of for-profit media multimillionaire blather today. And I didn't hear anybody mention that change in tone of voice. Which seems kind of strange given how glaringly obvious it is to anyone with, as the saying goes, ears to hear. Still a little bit of residual sneezing going on here. I wonder if he gets growly voiced like that right after the first couple of rails of Adderall. Kind of dries him out and because that's not the one pack of cigarettes a day habit talking there, because he doesn't smoke. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Flavio says it's called New Vigil or New Vigil. Armodafinil is a medication that promotes wakefulness. Either that or he's doing an impression of Chuck Grassley. That's funny. Not cowbell funny, but it's funny. Steve in New York says it's either morning voice or hoarseness from yelling. Screaming at his staff again, is he? one doesn't know. Hey, stand by a minute. Sorry, when calls come in from the kids, I take the calls. But it was no, because you never know when it's going to be an emergency. But it wasn't an emergency. Oh, by the way, happy birthday to Ron in the far unfrozen north. Missed that yesterday, but day late and a dollar short. But still, happy birthday, Ron. Flavio continues and says, I say it's New Vigil. Because the Adderall sniff is gone, or he's doing an impression of Chuck Grassley. Still not cowbell worthy. David in South Carolina stands says, I call Grassley Quaalude. That's funny. Megan says, subject line, Trump's voice, either the speed he's snorting has shredded his voice or the temper tantrum he threw gave him laryngitis. Sedation, asks David in South Carolina, Stan. Cueing the Ramones in my head. I want to be sedated. Yeah. It's great having your own little personal cerebral MP3 player, isn't it? So that was early this morning. This is where it gets interesting. Because early this morning, he sounded like that. And then they had a noon grievance airing in the White House. And he sounded like this.
Watch everybody, wow. We've all been through a lot together, and we probably deserve that hand for all of us because it's been a very unfair situation. I invited some of our very good friends, and we have limited room, but everybody wanted to come. We kept it down to a minimum, and believe it or not, this is a minimum. But a tremendous thing was done over the last number of months, but really, if you go back to it, over the last number of years. We had the witch hunt. It started from the day we came down the elevator, myself and our future first lady who's with us right now.
Yes, the future first lady, the first presidential spouse ever to remove her clothes for the sexual gratification of total strangers in exchange for money. Melanoma. Just want to make sure that we keep driving that point home. I mean, this is a presidency of firsts. But no, the FBI investigation did not begin the minute he came down the stupid escalator in imitation of a previous Simpsons clip. No. And the grievances went on and on and on.
It was evil. And it never really stopped. We've been going through this now for over 3 years. It was evil. It was corrupt. It was dirty cops. It was leakers and liars. And this should never, ever happen to another president, ever. I don't know that other presidents would have been able to take it. Some people said no, they wouldn't have. But
some people. In other words, the spirochetes in his head shrieking away. Yeah, some people.
But I can tell you, at a minimum, you have to focus on this because it can get away very quickly, no matter who you have with you. It can get away very quickly. It was a disgrace. Had I not fired James Comey, who was a disaster, by the way, it's possible I wouldn't even be standing here right now. We caught them in the act. Dirty cops, bad people,
if this.
This might be a time to remind folks that he is not immune from suit for defamation. And just because James Comey is a public figure does not mean that he has no rights. And he cannot prove the truthiness of what he has alleged there, that James Comey is a dirty cop. He might be an inept one. He might be a bumbling one. But dirty cop is what that is an allegation of criminal conduct. And in the general jurisprudence of this country, that is slander per se. In other words, no need to prove damages. It is slanderous. Right from jump. And then, of course, he got his potty mouth on. Because, see, all the guardrails, as they like to say, are gone. They're done. And so knowing that this was being covered nationally, so what? But what about the children?
It's the same. Does anybody have those papers? Does anybody have them? Because they're really like that, so I appreciate that. But some of the people here have been incredible warriors. They're warriors. And there's nothing from a legal standpoint. This is.
The word of the day is warrior. Remember, he was using that at the prayer breakfast?
From a legal standpoint, this is a political thing. And every time I'd say, this is unfair, let's go to court, they say, sir, you can't go to court. This is politics. And we were treated unbelievably unfairly. And you have to understand. We first went through Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all bullshit. We then...
and they laugh. The Constitution is dead. And they're laughing. Jesus. It's mighty hard to stomach. It's mighty hard to stomach. God Almighty. And it turned, like I said, it was an airing of grievances and a massive wine tasting.
Tremendous corruption. So we had a campaign. Little did we know we were running against some very, very bad and evil people with fake dossiers.
No, the dossier is very real, dipshit. Most of it's been proven to be correct. And one of these days, if you piss off Pootie, we won't just see the pee-pee tape. We'll see the you with little girls tape in St. Petersburg.
With all of these horrible dirty cops that took these dossiers and did bad things. They knew all about it. The FISA courts should be ashamed of themselves. It's
now, no sniffing, but did you hear the... He's drugged up.
A very tough thing. And then we ended up winning on Russia, Russia, Russia. It should have taken the one day, as I said, and it took years. Then Bob Mueller testified. Tremendous corruption.
And this man who was too much a goddamn coward to stand up for his country and dodge the draft with bone spurs made entirely of baloney. Well, he attacked a wounded veteran who's walking around with pieces of an IED still in his body.
Corrupt politician named Adam Schiff made up my statement to the Ukrainian president. He brought it out of thin air. Just made it up. They say he's a screenwriter, a failed screenwriter. He tried to go into, unfortunately, he went into politics after that. Remember, he said the statement, which is a mob statement, don't call me, I'll call you. I didn't say that. Fortunately, for all of us here today and for our country, we had...
There's a question. The business that they have been whinging and shrieking about over Adam Schiff's little bit of satire and parody and mockery. Are they really that stupid? They don't understand when he's being mocked? Or no one will say to him, Donnie, he was mocking you. He was making fun of you. Or is this just their estimation of the low, the lower end abilities of the maggots to comprehend fairly simple concepts?
Transcripts. We had transcribers, professional transcribers. Then they said,
"Yeah, well, we still don't have a transcript. It's a summary."
Oh, well, maybe the transcription is not correct. But Lieutenant Colonel Vindman and his twin brother, right? We had some people that really amazing. But we did everything. We said, what's wrong with it? Well, they didn't add this word or that. It didn't matter. I said,
Jesus. And then, while he didn't mention Nancy Pelosi by name this morning, but did make it clear who he was talking about, well, he went for a victory lap on that.
You know, I only told these folks, let's do this today. We did a prayer breakfast this morning, and I thought that was really good. In fact, that was so good it might wipe this out. But by the end, by the time we finish, this will wipe that one out, those statements. I had Nancy Pelosi sitting four seats away, and I'm saying things that a lot of people wouldn't have said, but I meant every word of it. But we
that's a moment of psychological inquiry. Why is he only happy when he's being vicious? I don't know the axes well enough. Would that fit somewhere in the diagnostic and statistical manual fifth or whatever edition we're on now? Axes of diagnosing a psychopath or a sociopath. I sincerely don't know. Is a puzzlement. Steve in New York, bad people and evil people. This sounds like a fourth grader. Well, that's because I think he's actually clocked in with the vocabulary of a third grader, Steve, based on the people who understand that stuff. And so this might be a good time to note an email I got from our buddy Tom in the Bay Area. You guys have been having fun with the alliterative emperors game over the past couple of days. Had a lot of fun with it last night. Tom jumping in. This is a day late because I'm listening to the podcast, but I thought I'd propose Toxic Tiberius and Terrible Titus. Signed, retired Tom, formerly in Richmond, now in San Rafael. Oh, not San Rafael, Tom. In the laid-back California town of sunny San Rafael lived a girl named Pearly Sweetcakes. You probably knew her well. She'd been stoned 15 of her 18 years, and her story was widely told, how she could smoke 'em faster than any dude
could roll. From Shel Silverstein's The Smoke Off. Yeah. And there's a bunch more other stuff to get into this evening. And we will. I also have to give credit to our buddy Paul, who on on Twitter proposed vile Vitellius, erroneous Elagabus, malignant Macrinus, traitorous Trajan, constipated Commodus. I like that. Broke-ass Balbinus, fucked-up Florian, porn-pussy Probus, tweetus non Tacitus, and jerk-off Jovian. Well played. Well played indeed. But yeah, other stories. We've mentioned a couple of times, we've discussed a couple of times so far, E. Jean Carroll's discovery request to Donald John Trump. You might recall that after he raped her, allegedly, she saved the dress she was wearing. Please, Jesus, let it be blue. She saved the dress she was wearing and has had the DNA on it tested. You know the kind of DNA. And so she and her lawyers have the testing results. They have the chain of custody. They can demonstrate where the evidence came from, and have filed a motion in court to compel Donald Trump to provide them with a sample of his DNA. Now, this does not mean he has to go and tug his little todger into a baby food jar or anything like that. Yep, well, there went dinner in the Eastern time zone. Sorry. E. Jean Carroll is suing him for defamation because of the shitty things that he said about her. And in response to the motion for discovery of his DNA, Trump's pettifoggers filed responsive paperwork this week in court and complained about the extensive and burdensome information gathering requests. And they said that the court should hold up on whether or not to grant it until the highest court in New York rules on another suit that is similar to this suit. It's kind of tough when your lawyers have to say, Judge, could you hold up on the discovery on this rape suit until the other rape suit works its way through the courts? Hey, we just got more rape suits against the president than we can handle. Which is essentially what they pled. The other suit being Summer Zervos. And the argument being put forward by the pettifoggers there is that an incumbent president can't be sued in state court. And they will, of course, whatever the state court ruling is, whatever the highest New York court ruling is, they will then take that to the Supreme Court in a desperate effort to delay this. Mark Kasowitz argued that threshold issue should be decided before E. Jean Carroll can have anything resembling justice. Do recall the famous remark, justice delayed is justice denied. Now, last month, the pettifoggers tried to just get the case dismissed outright, and of course, they lost some more. And they cannot argue that it's terribly, 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 awfully goddamn burdensome for Nitwit Nero to give a DNA sample. We are talking about running a Q-tip around inside his mouth. Probably would not take a minute. This is a desperate attempt to keep him from being convicted of the vile and filthy things which he very likely did. The DNA sample are skin cells on her dress. And he described her allegation as totally lying, totally. I've never met her. Even though, as there always is, every time he says he's never met someone, of course, there's a photograph of him with whomever it is he's claiming he never met. Well, okay, I took a lot of photos with people. And then the second photo comes out, and the 52nd photo comes out. And the photo of Lev Parnas standing at a birthday party for precious little princess Ivanka, my daddy Trump Kushner. Right. So we'll just kind of continue to watch that space. But it is telling that their only defense isn't he didn't do it. Their defense is he's too busy and it's too cumbersome for the president to have to deal with being held to account for the rapes that he is alleged to have committed. Big difference between that and innocent. But that seems to be the norm, to the extent that there are any norms with this misanthropic monstrosity. So we've covered quite a bit of ground in this hour, and I'm happy to announce that we are $50 away from meeting Chris in Germany's challenge. Just $50. And thank you to the anonymous individual who got us there, alongside Charlene in Rogues Island. So there's $50 to finish the challenge and $55 to finish come even with the week, so that we're only dealing with $200 tomorrow evening to finish the week. Well, I guess you could say that. That could even be a good T-shirt, Brother Deacon Asa. Trump too big to jail. Well, then we have to build a bigger jail. Ah. Bill in the chat room. Maybe it'll be the rape cases that'll get Dumpty thrown out of office, gone to court or not. The evangelicals will get sick and tired of this type of thing. No, Bill, no. No. The evangelicals will never get sick of it because their churches are full of it too. They're not churches, they're rape centers. They're not churches, they're pedophilia palaces. So just get that right out of your noggin. Other stuff that's out there this evening? Oh, wait, what's this? From Steve. I'm waiting for this.
I rape a lot of women. I take photographs and then I rape.
Dave in Taliban, Indiana, reminding us, stop. The National Prayer Breakfast is sponsored by a group called The Family. There's a documentary about it on Netflix. I know. It made my blood run cold. These people think Hitler's techniques were the right ones. These little Nazis in Brooks Brothers suits are the slimiest pieces of shit ever to walk the earth. And this is only the second day of the open dictatorship. They're a thinly disguised Christian identity group, a political cult, clothing itself in Christianity. All true. And the retribution and the payback and the vindictiveness has begun. Oh yes, it has. For instance, it came out today in the news that the Trump administration is moving to do all it can to destroy vast tracts of natural wonder. Where? In Utah. They're opening Bear's Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante to mining and drilling. They want to open up the area for energy production. These are deeply, deeply sensitive cultural monuments, as well as being natural and geographic and geologic wonders. These areas in southern Utah are rife with ancient works of art, petroglyphs, areas sacred to the indigenous people who live there. And they want to blast it all to kingdom come. You wonder if Bishop Willard would stand up against something like that. He's generally been pretty drill baby drill. I don't know. But I do know what'll be lost. And I know this too. Neither this country nor the world needs not one miserable lump of coal that would come out of that massive exercise in destruction and poisoning. This country does not need not one cubic yard or meter of the gas that would come out of there. The only reason for doing it is to make a fast, ugly, dirty buck. That's all. And in New York today, the nitwit Nero regime declared that they're canceling out a number of programs that allow people to get through airport security faster. People who are already in the system will be able to continue to use it until their accounts expire. After that, they will not be permitted to renew. Just as a way of poking New Yorkers because of Chuck Schumer and the governor of New York and the attorney general of New York. Yeah. On another front, because we're just not any good at this. On another front, people continue to hoot and screech and howl about the giant nothing burger that is Iowa, where turnout was below that of 2016, but where nonetheless, for purposes of media narrative and giving millionaires, multimillionaires, something to talk about, we persist in the silly pretense that Iowa even matters. I hear people hollering, goddamn DNC, about that idiotic app that the DNC had nothing to do with. I've even heard people claim that the DNC was in charge of the vote count in Iowa. Or that there is an Iowa DNC. All of which is just categorically not factual. But it persists. I think Bernie declared victory today. Again, giving the multimillionaires something to talk about. Right. So, we, yippee. Oh, and backtracking just a moment, I was talking about the mining and the drilling and Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante. They have referred to Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro as Brazil's Trump. He is, and probably worse, because he can get away with more. But in the Amazon basin, for mining, massive factory farming, and energy production. Indigenous leaders have referred to it simply as a genocide bill, because it is. During a ceremony, Jair Bolsonaro said, "I hope that this dream comes true." Adding, "An indigenous person is a human being exactly like us, who has a heart, has a soul, has desires, has needs, and is as Brazilian as we are." Well, actually, Jair, you fucking dumbass, they're more Brazilian than you are, you son of colonialists, you. He's also a climate denier, climate emergency denier. And he said, "We will be pressured by the environmentalists," you know, the folks that Medal of Freedom winner refers to as environmental wackos. "Those people, if I could, I would confine them to the Amazon region, since they like the environment so much." But the people, the indigenous people, know exactly who he is. Last month, 600 indigenous leaders from Brazil got together in the Brazilian state of Mato Grosso. It's in the Amazon. And declared that the Bolsonaro government was engaged in genocide, ethnocide, and ecocide. But like Trump, Bolsonaro can just lie. And so he says, lots of indigenous leaders support our projects to drill and mine and otherwise cut to pieces. One of the most amazing remaining riverine environments on Earth. Damn. This species, the human species, is in the clutches of a group of psychopaths, sociopaths, and maniacs who are trying to engage us all in a species-wide suicide pact. And it's sickening. Sickening. And from the "a prophet is never welcome in his own land," and apparently doctors aren't either, the Chinese physician who was the first to try to warn his country and the world about the coronavirus epidemic, an ophthalmologist by the name of Li Wenliang, died today at 3 a.m. Local time, I guess, in the central hospital at Wuhan. On the low end, we know of about 560 deaths. Wuhan and Hubei, wherein Wuhan is located, are quarantined. Terror is beginning to grip all of China, much of Asia. And, of course, the autocratic dictatorial government of China did everything in their power to suppress Dr. Wenliang's warnings. The police summoned him for rumor-mongering because of the warning he sent out on December 30th. He continued to try to treat patients, and that's how he wound up contracting the disease. Again, no low-end numbers, 28,000 people sick in China. There's some notion that they think they'll have it under control by the end of March, but that doesn't seem very realistic insofar as the infection numbers are continuing to rise. They are not leveling off and certainly not falling. And the numbers are probably far worse than what the autocratic dictatorial government of Xi Jinping, president for life, is allowing to get out into the world. The coronavirus is now in 24 countries, including the United States. And it's even aboard a couple of cruise ships that could wind up being with their passengers quarantined aboard ship with the disease possibly running wild. The Diamond Princess has been anchored off of Yokohama since Monday, and 20 people aboard that ship have tested positive. And 3,700 passengers aboard the vessel, as well as crew, who range from around 50 different countries, have been confined to quarters. And the Japanese have said that no foreign nationals will be allowed off the Diamond Princess. 3,600 people are confined aboard the World Dream in Hong Kong. 8 former passengers on that vessel have tested positive for coronavirus. The Chinese Lunar New Year holiday has been extended into next week. And that that so-called just-in-time logistic delivery method is being stretched thin. I think it's Hyundai in South Korea has already been negatively impacted and shut all its factories down because they can't get parts from China. This is the scary part of putting all one's economic eggs in one basket. As Spock would say, fascinating. As many in this, on this planet are saying, terrifying. Is there an upside? Apparently, it's not quite the coronavirus is not quite as deadly as the SARS virus of almost two decades ago. And in one of the more hellish evacuations, I read the other day that the Australians are evacuating Australian nationals from Wuhan, and that they're being taken to the immigrant detention center that was just a miserable hell offshore. I think, what is it, Christmas Island, where immigrants have been in the past tortured for trying to come to Australia. Air France KLM Dutch will not fly to China until at least March 15th. The noble, puissant, high, gracious, majestic royal family of Saudi Arabia has banned any citizens and resident foreigners from even traveling to China. Xi Jinping told Crown Prince Mohammed bin Bonesaw that all countries should follow World Health Organization guidelines on travel and health in a timely manner. On the other hand, Beijing criticized Great Britain for telling UK nationals to get the hell out of China and said there should not be such a panic. Curious, huh? So we are halfway through the program. We got $50 to go on Chris's new streaming PC challenge, and 55 more after that to catch up even with the evening. Wasn't planning on spending money on a new computer, but that's where we are. So let's run over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd. Yo, Todd.
Bob, how you doing?
There you are.
I'm here. Wow, you covered a lot of ground there, Bob.
Feel like we've hit a few notes.
Wow. But okay, so I didn't hear the morning address by you know who. But I did. I heard the his victory lap live, and the contrast. That's why when I heard the morning address, I was like, "Oh my God, they doped him up," or he doped himself up so bad.
You think it was because he was screaming about Romney? Because there's one little thing here that I neglected to mention, Todd. And that is, yesterday when the vote was being taken before the vote was taken around noonish, there was supposed to be a press gaggle at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the creeps who work there were caught completely off guard by Romney's announcement, and they immediately shut down the press gaggle, told everybody to go home, and would not allow anybody to have any contact with or even witnessing of Nitwit Nero. You think he was in the White House screaming himself hoarse?
Oh, yes. Oh, that scenario is totally plausible. Yes. Oh, of course he was. He expects full allegiance. You better walk lockstep because I'm a fascist and I'm a Nazi. I'm talking to people like I'm Trump. Of course. He just can't believe it. But you know, I'm not surprised, but damn, like I said, the contrast. And then, you know, you remember when we were in, let's say, late elementary, early middle school, when we were still going to space and there'd be a space launch and they'd pull the TV into class and that everything would come to a stop and we'd watch the launch and, you know, watch Space Skylab or whatever, or watch the president. Remember that?
Yep.
So what do you do when you have the president of the United States at approximately, this must have been around like 1220, 1230. You know, I'm not even going to get into the lies, but using the word bullshit from his bully pulpit in the middle of the day.
Well, like I said, there are no filters, no guardrails. He's out of the barn, and he's running with the bit in his teeth. But we talk about him throwing a fit and screaming. It kind of reminds me, and a lot of people have probably seen this and heard this in a different context, whether it be that Michael Jackson is dead the Patriots lost in the playoffs, whatever. This gets used for a lot of different purposes. But I couldn't, when I read that story about him losing his shit over Romney, I immediately thought of this.
Das war ein Befehl! Der Angriff Steiners war ein Befehl! Wer schickt sie? Sie meinen Befehl zu ihr selbst zu. Oh, weit ist das alles gekommen. Der Militär hat mich verlogen. Jeder hat mich verlogen, sogar die SS. Die gesamte Generalität ist nichts weiter als ein Haufen niederträchtiger, treuloser Feiglinge.
Mein Führer, ich kann nicht zulassen, dass die Soldaten, die für Sie verbringen...
Ist das Feiglinge, Verräter, Versager?
Mein Führer, was Sie da sagen, ist ungeheuerlich.
Die Generalität ist das Geschmeiß des deutschen Volkes. Sie ist ohne Ehren. Sie nennen sich Generale, weil Sie Jahre auf Militärakademien zugebracht haben, nur um zu lernen, wie man Messer und Gabel hält.
Is it that far off the mark, Todd?
Hell motherfucking no. And I'm going to tell you why. We already know what his background is, right? That, look, Hitler having a hissy fit. That's exactly what that shit. And wait a minute. He used the vernacular. He said he was talking about the people that supported him. He said, oh, and this guy works hard. And I knew his father, and he's got a good gene. He's back to this fucking eugenics shit. You know, that was at the 1230 and 1220 news briefing.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if in the next day or two he's talking about reading the bumps on people's heads.
Fucking wannabe phrenologist. You know, this guy, I don't know what it's going to take. I really am sad for our fellow Americans who just don't get it. And it's not even about politics. It's about, you know, just pay attention. You like the guy, fine. You like the guy. I'm sorry, who you like is Robert E. Lee or Hitler or, you know, you have the right to like who you want. But get out of our way. We're trying to run a country here.
We're trying to save a country.
Well, that's true. Thank you. Yes, that's what we're trying to do. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, this is a terrible precedent. I just don't understand this shit. It's very annoying. It's got us at our throats, at each other's throats. I don't know. I don't even know. I just lost my. I was at work, and I'm like, he really said bullshit. This is the middle of the fucking day.
Yeah, on C-SPAN. And I guess they didn't beep him.
Oh. No, they didn't. Nobody bleeped him. See, and I remember when this shit started. Now, we curse all the time, but we're grown, and we can modulate. He has, like you said, he has no filter. You know, his prefrontal lobe is diseased. It's, you know, necrosis had taken over. It's just a black, gooey mass, most likely. But, so, we can't have this, because, remember, as soon as it only took 2 months. He was in office 2 months before there were reports that school children were calling their schoolmates wetbacks, and, like, somebody called Pedro and said, Pedro, I know your back just as wet as my mama dish rag, you know, that kind of shit. You know, kids pay attention. Kids aren't stupid. They see everything else we see. You can't watch your child 24/7. These kids have smartphones. They have a lot of stuff. You know, what the hell's going on, man? Tell me.
Well, this is how republics die. When people who are tasked with legislation and oversight just decide to say fuck it and let the demagogue or the autocrat have his head and just go wherever he willeth, this is how republics die. Our buddy Arthur sent an email last night that I didn't get to in time. And it was a dandy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see here. If there it is. The Bob Kincaid Show. And we're back with The End Is Nigh, and There Is No Hope But the Sweet Relief of Death, Help Me Jeebus Hour, with your host, Smiling Bob Kincaid, now selling handmade wrist cutters on Etsy. I'm sorry. I mean, I think that's funny. And I know this is kind of a downer, but should I just say fuck it and fire up Amazon Music and play Partridge Family songs?
No, you shouldn't. You should do exactly.
Brothers
what
and
you're
sisters,
doing
you are living reality. In the midst of a republic that is falling apart. This is it. We are in it. It's not sometime in the future anymore. It's here, and it's now. And you can either take action to try to stop the collapse, or you can just sit back and say, fuck it, put the swirly straw in the rot gut liquor, fire up a fatty, and wait for the fireworks.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess, based on the tenor of some things that were said last night, I'm supposed to use this program for happy news or something, as if there was any, or much of any. When I find some, I share it, but there ain't a shitload of it out there going around right now.
How do you come to that conclusion from last night?
Well, because I'm not supposed to spend so much time pointing out the fucking Nazi problem that we have, or the evangelical problem. You know, the people who are killing this country. I'm not supposed to spend so much time on that. Or the racists.
But it's true. It's true.
It is.
And it has bled into society now. You remember, look. He has given affirmation, okay, to a whole group of people who felt like no one was listening to them, and they were just entrenched in their in what they like, you know, which is not what we like and how we operate. Because remember, these, like, okay, Michael Brown, all right, these what is it, the truth seekers or the Proud Boys or the folks who like to carry guns and they like go places and act like they want to be cops, okay? They were mixed in with the police in St. Louis.
Oh,
and then we found out,
Oath Keepers, Three Percenters.
Thank you. Right. And then so a little digging, we find out, wow, look how many of these St. Louis police officers are actually really involved in white supremacy and the Klan. A whole lot. Who do you think? You know, and I'm of two minds on this because it's America and you are allowed to have the type of affiliations you want. However, it takes an individual who is much more fully actualized, as Maslow would say, to separate your work self from your personal self. And, you know, most people are not exceptional. That's what exceptional is. That's not most people. Most people can't even go to the store without calling somebody a nigger or something. You know, they just don't have it in them. It's just not there. That's why average is average. You know, they fall right in the middle. And that's just life. That's what we did. That is why we have to have guardrails. Now we had this individual who's mentally ill, has these terrible outlooks on life and society and operates in a certain way, and they're willing to throw everything out the window. Everything these Republicans said that they were about. Everything.
It was all a sham.
It was all, and now it comes down to, I'm just racist. And I'm worried because I'm not going to be in power anymore because there's more of them than it is of me. And I go to church and they don't go to my church because I go to the First Baptist Church or I go to the, you know, First Methodist Church of God or the Snake Church, whatever the hell you go to, you know. This is unsustainable. I don't even know how we get back on track.
Well, it's like I said last night. First, you got to have the janitorial staff come in with the mops and the buckets and clean up all the puke. Because you can't just walk around the puddle of puke and leave it there and say, well, you know, we're going to just go forward henceforth and we're going to make America, we're going to fix things. You got to clean it up. Because somebody will eventually walk through it and track it all over the room. So.
You know what? How enlightened of you. And I'm not surprised because that's what we did not do during Reconstruction. Andrew
it's also what didn't happen after the general election of 2008. It's what happened when we got handed, we're going to look forward and not back.
You know, oh my God! We didn't talk about that.
The way you wind up with the way you wind up with children in cages is by not prosecuting a decade earlier the people who were putting dog leashes on human beings in Iraq.
Good point.
You know, the guy who got the Medal of Freedom a couple of nights ago said that what happened in Abu Ghraib was nothing more than a fraternity prank. I don't want to know what fraternity he was in. But here's the thing. He wasn't because he's a community college dropout.
Right. Thank you for saying that. I wish you'd say it every day. Because, man, there's so much you just put on. I mean, that was quick. You just tied my plate up like I can't walk through the line again. Come on. Now, remember,
everybody always gets way too much potato and macaroni salad.
Well, that's why you have to get it when it's there. You know that macaroni and cheese with the crust on top? You got to get that.
Yeah, it's not going to be there when you come back.
It's going to be an empty aluminum pan looking all sad. So Gina Haskell.
Yeah, with the sterno still baking the remnants onto the foil. Right.
Right. That's when the little kids were going to go, mommy, I burned my finger. Well, you should have been trying to pick that cheese. You know it's hot. There's nothing in there.
But it's so good. But it's yummy, mother. Gina Haspel hopping up and down like she's in some religious meeting, clapping, when CIA directors aren't supposed to do that any more than the generals are.
And if I'm not mistaken, she signed off on that Abu Ghraib stuff.
Yes.
That got her pumped
And she's the one who gave the okay to destroying the torture footage from Guantanamo.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I was thinking about. Right, that cover-up. Right. So that gave her gravitas within the agency, I suppose, because she took one for the team. I don't know. I'm not quite sure how those people work because they had different factions, too. But we, you know, then this Rush Limbaugh thing, that is absolutely disgusting. This current president embraces everything that is evil and nasty. And you see, I think he has crossed the line between being a sociopath and a psychopath. Now, remember, the first person he pardoned, the very first person, was one of the most disgusting individuals who had no regard for the rule of law. And he was a sheriff of a large county. Okay? A large county, you know, geographically. Okay, Arpaio. Arpaio said, fuck the court. I don't care what the court says. And who do you have now? We have the president saying, fuck the court. I don't care what the court says. Matter of fact, I run the court. You see what I'm saying here?
I do.
There's no stopping this person, and they love it. I don't know what they're thinking, if this is not going to end well for anyone.
I don't see how it does.
And see, we're dealing with all this mental illness. See, everything goes through his filter mentally ill.
Right, that informs every damn thing. And I saw an article earlier today in which some mental health professionals argued that the Senate sham and the acquittal, mm-hmm. the so-called acquittal that came out of it, mm-hmm. is invalid. Because from the beginning, Donald Trump was not mentally competent to stand trial. And they went so far as to put it in a letter to the Congress. The World Mental Health Coalition. These are the people involved with the book, The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump, Bandy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
They said his tweets reveal a serious level of dysfunction. He seems to carry the potential to incite violence. We saw that with the guy who was via stochastic terrorism weaponized into threatening the life of Adam Schiff.
Right.
And in the letter they say, we believe in our collective professional capacity that Donald J. Trump should not and cannot be legitimately tried for impeachable offenses unless he is found to be mentally competent to stand trial under the principles of justice well established in the United States. Until there is an evaluation, the determination that he is competent to stand trial cannot be made nor assumed. The Senate should immediately order an involuntary assessment, since a lack of assurance of fitness precludes conviction or acquittal. A defendant, after treatment, may be mentally fit to stand trial.
I love it. I love it. I absolutely, you know, I agree with that. But I think that's important. But you know, if Americans really want to see what this cadre of mental health professionals is doing, I think it's France 24 or France 4. It's one of the state-run channels in France. And Bandy Lee and her cohorts are often on there. And every time they release a new video, because they're up to probably 7 now, so she's got people with her who come from different professional realms, not just mental health, but the impact of what the man is doing. Okay, and what the repercussions are. You know, and she does not do this. Remember, I mean, it's really, you're really not supposed to do that. And she's still on faculty at Yale. However, she would not be doing this if she didn't have the okay of her dean, her department head, and possibly the president. But remember, the president is mainly a fundraiser. You know, the president of a college or institution of higher learning. They're mainly like a figurehead, a fundraiser. That's what they do. So it's really the chairman of your department, the dean of your school. You know, so if they're not getting any slack, you see she's still at it. But I'm curious as to how this is getting ignored so much. This is a real, this is a big deal. Because everyone in the mental health industry, we know that. I mean, we've known this for years now. It's obvious. And just because people like it and they like him and they like what he says, it doesn't mean it's right. People like slavery. It didn't mean it was right. People used to beat their kids, you know, with belts and sticks and shit. It doesn't mean it was right.
Nope.
But, you know, and okay, so we're dealing with that, right? So everything goes through that filter. So what's going to happen now when we have a real crisis? Because at some point, he's going to get pissed off with North Korea because they're making him look stupid. And we don't know what Putin is telling him. And you know what? His wife could be his handler. How do we know she's not?
We don't.
Because she's too fucking quiet, if you ask me.
We know she can say leave. We know that she can say leave the money on the nightstand in six different languages.
Yeah, she's good at that, isn't she? Oh. So look. And you know, we're looking really stupid now, the Democratic Party. We started off looking stupid. I mean, I know interns who could have done a better job in managing the rules of what the cycle, you know, how the cycle was going to transpire. It changed the rules, and they let Bloomberg in, and he was out, now he's in. I mean, it's just a big mess. And you cannot operate like that when you're operating against a laser-focused opposition. It doesn't make sense. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. That's the way I see it. What do you think?
I'm sick of hearing about Iowa because Iowa didn't matter in the first place. Iowa was a self-referential media creation. Iowa was important because the media covered it, and the media covered it because Iowa was important to the media. It is not, at least as far, now, you know, maybe a different story for Republicans. But as far as Democrats are concerned, Iowa isn't even vaguely representative of the greater body of the Democratic Party. Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot.
No. No, and I think
The caucus system itself is a shell game that is apparently designed not to include but to exclude. Lady B and I talked about that a little bit last night, I think, I know I did. I can't remember with him. But you know what? If you work 4 to 12 at the slaughterhouse, you ain't caucusing. If you can't get a sitter, you ain't caucusing. And if you get home from working the day shift and you are worn the fuck out at 5:30 or 6 p.m., you're probably not caucusing.
And you know what that sounds like to me, Bob Kincaid, is that just sounds like an extension of this polluted and putrid system of this electoral college that is nothing but, as you described it last night, and I know it's a hackneyed phrase to say it's a vestige of slavery, but it's deeper than that. It's really about maintaining economic white supremacy.
Well, I don't think it's hackneyed to say that it. I don't think it's ever hackneyed to say that something is what it is, Todd.
Okay.
And
the way you describe it,
And I use I use very precisely chosen words in my description of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the truth, though.
It is a constitutional, because it's in the constitutional, anachronism, because it is something that is taken out of time, whose time has come and gone. It is a constitutional anachronism of our disgusting, filthy slavery past. Now, I know that the guy who won the Presidential Medal of Freedom thinks that there were good things about slavery. Remember, he said the streets were safer back then. I disagree. There is no redeeming value whatsoever to be said of slavery. It had, and despite John C. Calhoun declaring that it is not only, I think it was John C. Calhoun, not only not bad, but an absolute good, there is no legitimate argument to be made in that regard. You know, no matter how many times various and sundry neo-maxi zoom dweebies of the right holler, well, at least the Negroes got brung to America so they could be Christians instead of heathens. Bullshit.
Well, I'm going to tell you, because of what I do at work, man, I've been doing a lot of research about black entrepreneurship. And see, there's an out for those, the people that we don't agree with, but they're not choosing to use it. And that would be, you know, and it's the truth. The only way this young country got so rich so fast is because of free labor. And free land. Remember, because you had to have the land. I mean, they got land grants. They got free shit from the top. And it's like, okay, what do we do with this land? Oh, my God, we got to work this land. This is not working out. These Indians, they just die and they don't want to do shit. I'm not going to go all the way back in history, but I'm just saying, so the West Africans worked out. But I guess my point is that, like I said, that's the only reason that we got so rich so fast, and why when we started having a civil war, like everybody was like, "Damn!"
Right. It's like being 7 feet tall because you're standing on a 4 foot box.
Yeah. Right.
And like I said, you know, I don't just say things. I just gave you the example of what I say about the Electoral College. Here's another example. When I mention Melania Trump's former occupation, you know, she likes to sue people. She has sued journalism outfits for calling her a whore or a prostitute.
See, I know a person. Yes, I do.
But here's the thing. Truth is an absolute defense. So when I describe Melania Trump, I say that she is the first presidential spouse ever to remove her clothing for the sexual gratification of total strangers in exchange for money.
So you presented that in a legal way. I like the way you said I, too, and you were very careful with your language. Yeah,
and
I like that.
Every single portion of that sentence is demonstrably factual, incontrovertibly factual. It is freighted with no emotion, no vitriol, no passion, no animus. It is simply a statement of fact. If in her prior career, she had been a sanitation worker, you could say that she is the first presidential spouse ever to pick up people's household waste in exchange for money. And it would be true. Okay? If she was John Henry the Steel driving man, if you described it in factual neutral terms, it would remain true. And so, I say that Melania Trump is the first presidential spouse ever to remove her clothing for the sexual gratification of total strangers in exchange for money.
Okay.
And she could sue me tomorrow, and she would lose, because truth is an absolute defense. And every one of those words, every one of those phrases, every clause is true. Because she was paid to model. And we have the physical evidence of her modeling. And we know she was paid to do it.
Yes, we do.
And there she is, as naked as the day she was born.
And some of them are with women. And that's okay too, but I'm just saying she can't deny it. That's what
she did. Okay. If you want, okay. She is the first presidential spouse ever to pose naked or near naked with another unclothed female, and presumably be paid for doing so. Words matter.
That's why we have names, you know. That's why the law is. That's why people who go into law usually have a degree in English, because you have to be precise with your language. I mean, there's really no way. I mean, if you want to write a good law,
there's a reason. There's a reason that some of your best lawyers out there have one of two, sometimes both, kinds of undergraduate degree. English major, English majors and engineers.
Engineers? Oh.
Yep.
How does that fit in?
Because an engineer has to make all the little pieces fit together and work. Because if it doesn't, it all falls apart. And so they have that same level of detail orientation.
Mm. Man, that sounds interesting. I can see that now. Yes, I see that.
Flavio with a note says, how many times have I been saying this? Trump is the result of all the impunities that came before. Yeah. Yeah, hold on, says Ron in Raleigh. What's Todd? What do you mean we got so rich? What do you mean we? Don't you mean they got rich? We still don't have wealth to commensurate to the labor we've performed and that was stolen. And that is absolutely true. And Lady B with a note says, are Trumpers feeling the stress, the anxiety, and creeping feeling of helplessness? The fuck this. We're in more trouble than we thought, so we might as well grab the Vaseline and bend over now. Are rich Republicans feeling like this? Actually, let me reverse that. Is this what they felt when Obama took office? Was it really this bad for them? Did they really have the type of intuition that told them the United States was on the verge of authoritarian rule by an inept clown? No. They just figured that America was over because, you know, in our White House. Trying to stay optimistic. Right. Trying to stay optimistic, Lady B says. But anyone not feeling anxiety is a sociopath, and anyone feeling it but refusing to acknowledge it because they still firmly believe shit will return to normal as soon as the transgenders, gays, and blacks start accepting their places again, dude, I can't. The genie's out of the bottle. The horse has left the barn. The earth is only going to get hotter. Shit will never be the same again. There's no Justice League. It won't get better magically, and it won't be the work of one person. We got to change. We got to stop the Nazis. We got to stop the sexism, racism, inequality, and letting fellow Americans die of treatable diseases. Because even though we as a country paid for these drugs to be invented, only a few of us are eligible to be treated with them. China could fall into a third world country status because they don't trust their own citizens to elect a government that gives a damn about their needs. They keep their people in the dark and subject them to neo-slavery because it makes them look powerful and in control. And if that means lying to the world about a possible pandemic, then so be it. They got 1 billion people. They'll make more. Hoping for better days and warmer weather. Snowstorm coming in. Keep up the good work. Not all of us are helplessly blinkered. Bless you. Thank you, Lady B. Yeah, we get snow tomorrow and Saturday, and I guess maybe it's going to pile up a little bit.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it'll be, I mean, it hadn't snowed worth a damn this winter. You know, in all of the month of January, Denmark did not get below freezing.
Oh, man. I don't know what to say. And you start off with Bolsonaro, and yes, he is the South American Trump. And he doesn't care about those indigenous people, man. We don't even know the types of drugs and cures and healing agents that are gone now because of his dumb ass. What a fucker. I'm curious what has started this fascist fervor, you know, worldwide. I don't understand where it's coming from. Because it's not just here. You know, it was in Great Britain. It's in Brazil, Venezuela. I mean,
it's almost like some outside actor has plowed the earth, planted the seeds, and fertilized the ground for that shit to grow, isn't it?
It is.
Who would ever benefit from doing something like that?
What possible
nation and leader of thereof out there could ever benefit by trying to destroy democratic institutions and thereby uplift that leader's shitty, miserable mono economy? In order to retain access to power. What country could that possibly be, Todd? I mean, maybe, hey, you know what? It's probably not anybody here on this planet. It's probably the amorphous, multi-limbed beings from Norblap 9. That's it.
That's the ticket. I'm just too hapless.
Your neighbor David in South Carolina, Stan, just said, starts with a V, ends with a D, has an L and an A in the middle. I mean, because all kidding aside, he is an old KGB spook. Who was dipped by the heel in his youth in the old Soviet theory of zero-sum gamage, in which the only way that the Soviets could rise and go forward was if everybody else went down by an identical amount, a proportional amount.
Okay, let's go here. Let's investigate this avenue. Quickly. All right, that I accept that what you said. I believe that to be true. Now, because that has been the old Soviet Union's goal for decades. Going back to the 1920s. Because remember, they were the Soviet Union, the USSR, Russia was willing to exploit the fissure between Black Americans and the people who just wouldn't tolerate us in government, because you know what they did to Paul Robeson. I mean, they were ready. They were ready. You know, it's like, oh, come on over here. We'll take you in. You know, we'll treat you right. And it, you know, in some instances they did. But you see, that's why I go back to this KGB Connections documentary. And this is not an old, this is an old documentary. And they're talking with people who are in their 80s, like they started doing this shit back in the 30s, and they're working all the way up until the 1980s, right? And, I mean, it gets into Cuba, and it's almost 3 hours long. It's on YouTube. There's a couple versions, but the longer version is the better version. And you have to watch it a couple times because it's just, I mean, these are facts. You can go back, you can look at this shit and it's like, damn, this really happened. So they've been poking at it, but now you see we're in a different era because people are greedy now. Everybody wants everything. So you got the financial part. Then you have your nationalism. See? Then the racism. And people are just scared. They have been able to weaponize all these things. And now they have got their perfect guy in our White House, along with senators who, of course, went to Russia during the 4th of July holiday for some odd reason. I don't know why. Instead of staying home and drinking beer and eating barbecue like normal Americans, you know. There's something afoot. But it's about white supremacy. Part of it. Part of it is, part of it isn't, maybe. But all I know is that look, there's enough on this planet for everyone. And in this country, we are awash in money. Awash. No one should be worried about health care. This is crazy. I know people who are actually going to die. Like, they're going to commit suicide or they're going to just die because their medical bills are just eating them alive. You know, and they want to go to work, but you can't go to work if you're sick. What the fuck is that?
There you go.
All right, man. Look, you're excellent, and you have an excellent audience, and you know, you got Pros Laureate, and you got Rabble Rouser, Ron and Raleigh, and good God. We gotta get this shit back on track, man. This is bullshit. These people are craving. This shit is frightening, man. What do they think is going to happen? I mean, what do they think forward? Do they think?
Well,
they
see, you asked like, Lady B asked a question earlier. Is this what right wingers felt like when Obama took office? They felt like that, but there was no reasonable likelihood that anything structurally tectonic was going to happen to the Republic. And so they walk around saying, "I survived 8 years of Obama. You can survive 8 years of Trump."
Right.
But Obama didn't shred the Constitution. George W. Bush and Trump did that.
No, and, Bob, you're wrong.
Am I?
No. Yes, and I'm going to tell you what. And it's right.
Why? Because he blacked while president or presidented while black?
That's like 80% of it. Yes, because in their mind, he did shred the Constitution by his mere presence. In that position.
Yeah, three-fifths of a person can't be president. Goddamn, come on.
Right, you can't fucking read? Come on. Right, how the hell could that be? What parts? What is that, his hand? There's his penis, because you know they got them big penises. You know, come on. So when they say that, that's what they're saying, but it's deeper than that. Because if you look at, see, this is almost like a paradox that's not. Because they're operating on emotions too, because they have a cognitive dissonance between what is actually happening and what they feel when they see this man speak, and he makes them feel good. You know, he makes them feel like they're on top of the world and everything's okay, and they're not looking at what he's actually doing. You know, cutting back on pork inspectors by 40%, you know, allowing companies to pollute our air more. Now, he says we got the cleanest water, but he's rolling back water restrictions, which were already not strong enough. You know, but now that he's aggrieved all the time, and, oh, it's been so unfair, and they won't let me get high all the time, and I'm mad about that, and my wife won't fuck me, and I'm just goddamn mad. Fuck you people. You know, fuck him. He needs to go ahead and expire, man. Leave us the fuck alone. Jesus Christ.
Well, like I said,
the era of the payback has begun, because you may not have noticed it. I did in the State of the Union game show when he said,
more than 10 million people have been lifted off of welfare.
Well, you're not lifting somebody off welfare.
What welfare? Wait a minute. What welfare?
Oh, you're not lifting somebody off welfare if you just take their food away. And
that's
so
not
now,
welfare.
And so here it comes, a rule change involving SNAP. More than 3 million people will be deprived of access to food. Nearly a million people will lose their automatic enrollment in the National School Breakfast and Lunch Program, because having little poor kids eat food at school, well, that ain't America. And so when you say when you say that the maggots don't understand what's being done to them, yeah, they do. And they like it. Because whatever may happen to them, worse will happen to people they hate. They're into it. They dig it, man.
Well, they're hurting themselves. There's more of them on the soybean welfare. Those people who live out in the hinterlands in the middle of America, they're on fucking food stamps and free lunch, Title I schools. Do you know what happens when children try to learn and they don't have the proper nutrition in their bodies?
Yes, I do know.
It don't happen. Okay. I'm just saying, it's like a waste of money. Why even build a school if you're going to send hungry kids to school and they're worried about... I mean, and physiologically is one thing. You know, that's a...
Here's the thing with the SNAP and the school breakfast and lunch program. It's not even subject to debate. They just changed how an already existing rule is interpreted, and it can take effect at any time now. Very soon, as the book says.
Man. Shit. You know, these fuckers do want, they want a civil war. They really do want this shit. And I this is absolutely disgusting. And,
well, I remind you, how many years ago was it that I coined the term Cold Civil War? It's getting warmer.
You ever heard of Hot Springs, Arkansas?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Eureka Springs, yeah, Hot Springs.
You did. And you know, they, you know, like you pointed out, there's a whole segment of folks who just couldn't stand Roosevelt when he started the New Deal. And, you know, it was a big rigmarole, before they even wanted black folk to get everything. You know, even though they're nursing their babies with black titty milk and making their food, that's what I don't get. Now we don't live in a day. I have to say it every 2 weeks, but I have to say it again. We don't live in a bubble. When these assholes go to get that dollar hamburger or go to that restaurant and you got people that have to, you can't miss 1 or 2 days of work. That's a bill that's not getting paid. We live in a $10 economy, you fools. And he claims this orange disaster claims that he's against the globalists, but that's exactly who he's in bed with. Come on, he'd get permanent tax cut 20%, $10 economy. So pretty soon, what's going to happen? It won't matter where you won't have to move offshore because everybody be making the same wages. Vietnam, United States, it won't matter. And now with China, come on, man. You know what's going to happen pretty soon now with this virus? Think about it. These charging cords for our phones don't last worth a shit.
Right.
Every couple weeks, you got to buy some shit to keep your phone fucking working. You got no phone, you got no light. So all of a sudden now, oh, my God, the ship stopped. We got no more. Now it's $38. Used to be to get one for $5. Nope, not anymore. $35. If they have it. And then if they do have it, you open the wrapper, and there might be some virus in there. You don't know. Those people are going to work.
You know, sick. I was thinking about the and I get on real shifting sand when I start thinking about economics because I don't know shit about no economics. They call that the dismal science, and I'm a joyous and happy person, and I don't want to be no dismal. So, but I got to thinking about it, you know, the fact that, and we were discussing this last night too, many, if not most, of the components of our pharmaceuticals come from China. China.
You got it. All our generic drugs,
the little bits and pieces that go into our automobiles come from China.
You're being an engineer now, aren't you?
God help us if I am. So much of our lives come from China. If shit gets real over there, it will get real rolling downhill to here pretty quick, too. So the next thought that engendered for me was, well, gosh, why can't we just make shit here? Which is kind of one of the questions that got the maggots so worked up.
You know, don't sell your house in Lordstown, Ohio. It's going to be worth so much more because they're going to be building so many. What? You're closing that plant? Like all the jobs?
Mm.
Yeah. But if we, the stuff we like and really care about, if we made computer parts here like they make in that giant city of a factory in China where they had to put out the suicide nets under the windows.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the population to do it. Because you'd have to build the factories, then you'd have to train the workers. And you'd have to take the workers out of shitty low-wage jobs to get them into the manufacturing jobs. And then there'd be nobody working at the convenience stores and the Dollar Tree and the Wally Worlds. And you'd be fucked. So you'd have to bring in people from other countries. And oh, fuck no, the maggots don't want that. Unless, of course, they're coming from Norway because their dear leader likes people from Norway. But the Norwegians don't want to leave because the Norwegians know a good gig when they've got one.
Mm-hmm.
And so why would anybody in a developed country want to take the step down involved in coming to the United States? Short answer, they wouldn't. And so that means you've got to open up the borders to the people who are hungry for the work. And lather, rinse, repeat, Bruga Bruga, Sanctuary City, Mexican rapists. You know, that stupid bastard was bragging about his wall in the State of the Union, even as the wall was coming tumbling down. Hilarious.
But the maggots don't care about that. They don't care about that.
Don't care. Don't they, know.
They don't know. Don't care. Right.
How many maggots knew that the wall fell over?
No, they think he's making, God bless him, he is doing a great job for this. Man, I'm telling you, Washington Journal is an informative tool. You ask Steve from Georgia Staff. You ask him. Ask him. Yeah, but back to Bob Kincaid's economic theory, post Keynesian. Now, all right, but maybe that's the plan. Maybe that's like, you know what? We got all these conservative judges in now, in low level federal positions. We're changing. We have prison reform. But you know what? That can mean reform. Can mean a lot of things. That can mean slave labor.
They don't seem to be reforming much at Parchman in Mississippi or Angola in Louisiana now, do they?
Oh God, Andy, that's some shit.
Or whatever the joint is in Alabama. They've even got a scam in Mississippi that I heard about while I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Where and you don't even have to violate the criminal law. No, it's debtor's prison.
Wait a minute. How are you? They're bringing that back.
So
there's stories about people getting pulled over.
If you have like civil judgments against you because, I don't know, the phone company sued you for a bad bill, or you wrecked your car and damaged property, took out a mailbox or something like that, and you get judgment entered against you in Mississippi and you don't pay up,
mm-hmm.
they will take you into custody. And I mean, just let this is just astonishing that this is allowed to happen in some place like this that claims to be, you know, land of the free and the home of the brave. You get taken into custody over a civil debt, and you are held in custody in what is a lockdown for all intents and purposes. And you get up and you go to work every day and you come back and they lock you back in. And whatever your earnings are, they take. And they apply a nickel or a dime to whatever it is you owed that got you in there in the first place. And they take the rest of it away from you and charge it to your room and board and upkeep. And that way, you never actually get your debt paid off, and you remain in debt servitude for the foreseeable future. And the number of, in particular, African-American women that is used against is shocking to the conscience. And they have never
been, sounds like a business
and
model.
And they've never been convicted of a crime. They do the same shit in Alabama.
I think they do it in Oklahoma. I mean, I'm just saying that's a business. It is a business model. It's very Dickens-esque. I'm serious. There are in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Department of Corrections, they have prisoners who take newspapers that we send them, and they digitize them and put them on a CD-ROM, you know, so we can use them at work. And you wouldn't even know. Yeah, just look really close. I was like, what? Oklahoma Department of Corrections? This high-skilled labor. I mean, you could teach anybody to do anything just about, you know, it's not that hard, but you have to be able to read. I mean, let's face it, a lot of people who go to prison or in jail, which are different things, these people are in prison. You know, most of them don't have a good educational background. They just don't. For whatever reason.
Well, whose political campaign was it that was using prison labor out of Colorado, women, to do what, robocalling?
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it was one of the Democratic candidates.
Well, that's frightening. What you just mentioned, that's some bullshit. That is bullshit. Because I've read stories in newspapers where people, you know, you're speeding, you get pulled over, and you don't even know you have a warrant out.
Michael Bloomberg's.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They hired a contractor that used prison labor to make political phone calls. When he got caught, when he got caught, one of his spokesmen said, it was a vendor of a vendor of a vendor. We didn't know about it, and we never would have allowed it.
A vendor of a vendor of a vendor.
Procom, okay. A New Jersey-based company hired by the Bloomberg campaign through a third-party vendor. runs two call centers out of state prisons in, I'm sorry, Oklahoma. One of them's a minimum security women's prison outside of Tulsa. And the longtime spokesman for Bloomberg, a guy named Stu Loser. No shit. said, we don't believe in this practice, and we immediately stopped working with Procom and the people who hired them.
How do you find these stories?
You just pay. All you have to do is spend your life reading everything. It's like News Ninja Gene. He reads the internet, the whole internet, every day. That's all. David in South Carolina, Stan, your neighbor said, the maggots will literally die to save white supremacy. They will forego health care for themselves and family just so black and brown people can't receive health care while calling themselves, all while these maggots call themselves pro-life. Thus is the power of racism. And David's right. Meanwhile, your former, well, sort of neighbor, Clarence, formerly of Philly and now of South Carolina. Here's my theory, Todd. I think what we're witnessing is an international pivot. The Latin immigration movement from South and Central America is the people following the money. The labor and resources extracted from those countries have made North America rich. The same is happening in Europe. The Africans are following the money, too. Those two regions have been looted for years, decades, centuries. People from these regions want their payment for the labor of their ancestors, payment that is overdue. The images on the internet show a world beyond their wildest dreams. The other motivations that make people move are brutal and uncaring governments. The change is slow, but it will happen. And recall that between 2013 and now-ish, this was mentioned last night, 138 people who were deported from the United States to El Salvador are dead. Of the more than 200 deportees tracked by researchers, 70 of them were sexually assaulted, tortured, or kidnapped. And they were attacked, tortured, raped, or killed by gangs that they fled in the first place. Human Rights Watch documented all of this.
What was the pool that you started with?
More than 200 deportees tracked. 138 of them have been killed between 2013 and now.
And then all the other stuff that happened in between. Wow. That's a death knell. Either fast or slow. That's a crazy, frightening statistic. Do you know what you just said? That's some fucked up shit.
Yeah. Well, and look, the number is not lost on me. Okay? I prefer to blame Donald Trump for everything, but I can't just sit here and make shit up. 2013 to the present. Barack Obama was inaugurated for his second term on January the 20th, 2013. So that means those 138 people died during the second term of Barack Obama and however much was reported on of this far into Nitwit Nero's regime. Because, see, I remember back during the Obama administration, I think it was, maybe I'm wrong, when a woman who was the head of ICE or someone who was the head of ICE got caught at a Halloween party in blackface.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember that. Yep. I remember that. And, you know, Okay, so, you know, that's the whole, that is really, that's kind of deep, man. We have all this other stuff. We've forgotten about the genocide, the concentration camps, the family separation. See, black folk know what family separation is like. We know what that's about.
Well, that's...
Because you tried it. I get all these white people talking about, I could trace my shit back to the Huguenots. I'm like, that's great. I can go back to last week, you know. How am I supposed to fucking
know?
Well,
yeah, think about the families that were separated and sold down the river in order to keep that fine, fine, upstanding Catholic institution in D.C., Georgetown University, alive. Because that's a real thing that happened. They had slave plantations, the Jesuits did, over in Maryland. And when hard times hit Georgetown, they sold folks down the river to Louisiana, broke up families, and never gave it a second thought. Never mind the question of why Jesuits are owning slaves. I mean...
Well, or Catholics.
Well, yeah, but I mean... Anglicans, Episcopals owned slaves... Like I said, that my hometown in Alabama, the first two churches there, one was established in 1818, and that was First Presbyterian. And by 1824, the Episcopalians had come along and set up a gospel shop of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And it was slavery from the front pew all the way to the back. All the while talking about the saving grace of Jesus. See, if you pay attention to history, you can't get away from this shit.
It's difficult. It makes for difficult but enthralling conversation. I mean, because it makes you think. It's like, okay. I'm telling you, I get some interesting conversations around here. You know, people will try to defend Robert E. Lee, and I'm like, yeah, but he was a traitor. And I won't say that off the bat, you know, but, and they don't like that. You know, when you say that, oh, no, that's the end of the conversation a lot of times. And then they'll say, well, you have to understand the times. I'm like, no, I don't. I really don't. Because there were a whole lot of people in 16-something, the Quakers in Germantown said, yeah, you know what? This is not a good idea. We're not having this around here. And, we're not going to be involved in this slavery bullshit. So you guys can do it, but, you know, we're not going to do that. And they did what they could. Now, it wasn't all Quakers, but that was the Germantown Quakers. But, you know, it's complicated because think about it. Now I try to see all sides of an argument because that I feel that makes me a better debater. Now, if someone said, okay, the war is over, and the war was over, you and your gas-guzzling combine, that combine you have is too big and it uses up too much fuel, and I don't care if you paid $168,000 for it, we're taking it from you, and we're leaving you with nothing. So that was like taking your slaves away. So how are you supposed to work all that land with no labor?
Well, I guess some of those folks out in the real America are finding that out now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're on soybean welfare.
Well, that's wait a minute. That's a good one. Soybean welfare.
Should we start saying that till it sinks in?
Well, we probably better not, Todd, because that might offend those delicate sensibilities of those Iowa voters, and we want them to come to their maggot senses and vote for the right candidate this time. There's never a bad time to remind folks that this is, of course, what we're talking about in November. November the 3rd is the quadrennial one-question IQ test.
Thank God. Say it again. Wait. Say it again, Bob.
The quadrennial one-question IQ test. It is pass-fail, baby. If you answer anything but the Democratic presidential candidate, if you write in derp or say Bernie or Boost or vote for Trump, you are on the fail side of the pass-fail test.
You fail. You're not coming to my Christmas party.
Because that means that no janitor, is going to come and mop up the vomit. And instead, it's just going to get tracked all around the room, and you're not going to be able to go anywhere that you don't have the stench of vomit in your little nostrils.
Oh, since you brought it up, let me tell you, Tracy is not taking no shorts right through here. I'm just telling you. She ain't taking no motherfucking shorts. So, These old white men, they better stay the fuck away from her right now. Because if you're a typical old white man, just stay away from Tracy. Don't talk to her. Don't look at her. Just don't. No, just saying. Tracy.
I heard from Tracy earlier today. She's on a mission today. This is her 6-month Weight Watchers anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, and as of this morning, she was 1.8 pounds away from being down 60 pounds at 6 months.
Wow.
And so we were talking about strategies. She said, can you lose 2 pounds in a day? I said, please.
I wouldn't be sweating at 1.8.
Oh, no, but she was. No. I understand why. I mean, I'm one of those weirdos that likes nice round numbers, too.
I keep telling her she should be a motivational speaker, though. She really should.
Oh, I think she's working on it. I think she is. Oh, did I tell you I got a new wok?
No.
I finally found me a wok.
A low-carbon steel wok?
The carbon steel wok, yes. But it's got a flat bottom, so you can so you can use it on a stovetop.
Right, because in the Chinese restaurant, it's a fucking hole. It can have it round.
Right,
it's a hole.
And I'm totally stoked.
My man! Oh, wait a minute! It means you can use it outside on the
yes.
Stage. Oh shit! Man, we're having a party. Fuck that! We're having a party.
And I was talking to my dear friend who took care of us over the weekend with that blazing hot tom yum soup that just that got me on the road to recovery. And nothing formal, no papers signed or anything. But I just said, so if you had to, you reckon you could feed 50 people? She said, no problem, Bob. So I was thinking maybe the Friday night of the Horn Inn, one of our meals would be to go over to her place for a big old Thai feast.
Oh, hell yeah.
Pad Thai, lob mo, chicken satay with peanut sauce, Penang curry, fried rice, those awesome little steamed pork dumplings. Her crispy, wonderful, fresh out of the hot fat spring rolls.
And oh man, I do tricks with spring rolls. Shit!
Wait a minute. And she makes her spring roll dipping sauce from scratch.
No way.
Yeah, none of those little packets of like duck sauce. No. Mm-hmm.
Come on. You know damn well, a good spring roll is just, you can't touch it.
Oh, no, and I mean, I've watched her making them. He got all her cabbage and all her carrots and all that stuff and just roll one and you know, put a dozen of them in the deep fryer at once.
Oh man, you're making me hungry.
Well, I mean, so do you like the idea?
I love it.
And then like our Saturday night shindig dinner, I'll cook. We'll have some white barbecue chicken. And some smoked brisket and smoked pulled pork, maybe some ribs.
Oh. And you know there'll be some red wine. You gotta have some red wine.
You know, folks are free to do as they please. I was thinking, maybe for the Thai dinner, we'd have some ice cold bottles of quality sake.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Right. Your better half is in. Oh, yeah. We had the sake discussion. Sake is so different, man. I'm telling you, it really. Honest to God, I said it's not about me, but damn, sake is different. It's a different buzz. It's just different. It's so different. It's like you never forget that first good sake. It's like,
So I don't know, we'll start. I'm hoping to be ready to launch the campaign by the beginning of March.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is going to be the summer.
The goal is first weekend in June.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it ain't gonna be. Yeah, it's gonna
before the equinox.
Yeah. It's a thing here in this region, in this area. It never rains on the first Saturday in June. But what it's not going to be cheap. But with the exception of transportation, travel to here, it'll be a turnkey job.
Right. Right.
With good food, music, hangouts, get-togethers. Part of this is going to be publication of my first book of poetry. And
are you going to read?
Yeah,
I know you're going to read.
Oh yeah, we'll do a reading. Hell, maybe able to read the whole book in one night. But there's a because poetry doesn't take up a lot of space or time. Maybe work in depending. I don't know what the cost would be like to rent two or three of those big old long ass white vans, and I don't know if you could get them up Cayford Mountain. That's the big problem.
Wow!
But maybe try to go and view it. Go up Cayford and see a mountaintop removal site. It's a lot to wedge into 3 days or so, but I think it could be tremendous fun. And we'll just take over a hotel.
Yeah. Now back to your political work, man. You have to feel good about because I've been listening to you. I was only here for a few years before I started listening, and you've been at it, but you've had some success, and you had to be proud of that because you did what you had to do. You stayed in there.
But there's still so much more to do.
But listen, people are talking about this shit now because it's so fucked up. Like these retention ponds. My God, how is that even? All these things. The micro particulate. What happens when you just blow
the ultra fines and.
I mean, who knows how many birth defects that's leading to? And then you don't want to send the kids to school with a decent meal. I just don't. I haven't taught and everything. I never taught in there. Well, only a charter school, but all the other schools are Title I schools, which means that most of the kids get free lunch, which means they get free breakfast.
Why not? Yeah, I don't care if you're G.I. Love Money the 15th. You get free lunch too, you little rich fuck.
Exactly. Right. That's the movement. Like in normal places, there's no stigma. Like when they go through the lunch
have you,
line,
have
they
you
don't
ever,
want
to and speaking of lunch and breakfast and stuff, what we serve is really seriously low rent. Have you ever seen what school lunches look like in France?
Oh, God, no.
Or in other sane and civilized countries?
I probably should not, because I might...
School lunch in France would run you about $75 at a restaurant in New York.
Damn! What?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's good, high-quality food. Because, well, they think of their young scholars as the future of France, and they feed them accordingly. You know, not two slices of bread that's got cellulose, you know, wood shavings in it, with a hunk of prison cheese in the middle.
No, I take my shock back. No, I'm not surprised. Because I've been to France, and they are big on local fresh food. That's how they roll. That's how they operate. Unless it's really good, then it's so.
And by the way, yeah. Lady B has a message for Tracy, all caps. Tracy, sway and slay, you the queen bee. Don't turn sideways, love. We need to see you. Thank you, Lady B. Randy in PA has learned a hard, hard lesson.
Oh, shit.
I just tried some pumpkin spice coffee creamer. It was vile. And now I've got to use it up. Randy.
He was listening to you.
Why? I mean, that coffee creamer stuff is poison anyway. It's made out of all kinds of, like, vegetative goo. I mean, I remember way back when I was a little kid, my mom and dad, before they switched over to Half and Half, would use Coffee Mate. And and they had a different name. Everything had a nickname or a colloquial name. And they referred to it as coffee glue. Because it kind of is. You know, the powdered stuff.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I cringe every time I have to go to the doctor's office and they don't have...
You want, like, some glue in that? Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? No, I don't need any coffee that. Because once you... Man, Half and Half is magical. Not only for cooking, but for the... You know, I drink my coffee latte. I have to have it latte. Otherwise, I can't drink it. And that shit, it's just perfect.
Well, I tell you what. If you've got a frother and you use that Fairlife whole milk... For your latte or your cappuccinos. Pure heaven.
I believe that.
And if you want to take it up a notch, Jesus, like I'm Emerald, you use the Fairlife whole milk chocolate milk.
Oh, man, get that good mocha latte.
Yeah, and then you got your mocha latte going on.
I do have a tiny whisk. Just for that, and the right type of pot. Now, I know I'm always talking about cast iron, but there are occasions where you have to have a nice, small, stainless steel
pitcher.
Sauce pot. Right. What pitcher?
You know, the other thing you can use, you get it from Mexico. Long before the white people arrived, they had this brilliant little tool they developed for frothing their chocolate.
No shit.
And it's a stick with, like, two or three little rings loosely attached to it. And you put it down in the liquid. And then you just hold the stick between your two palms and you zzzz back. And it froths it.
You're kidding.
It's awesome.
No electricity.
Nope.
See, when you make that, damn, that sounds good. Oh, I'm glad you brought up the coffee, though. It was so serendipity. Because I went through, I had the French press for a few years until I finally broke it because I'm clumsy. And then that got me used to, like, the real coffee. So then I went to the cowboy coffee in the mason jar where you just measure out the coffee, put it in the mason jar, add the hot water, get an oven mitt, shake it around, and put a loose lid on it, let it steep for a few minutes, and pour it through a strainer. It's not terrible. It's pretty good. But then I was like, wait a minute. I have two or three of these reusable filters. Let me do this. And then I remembered, oh, my God, I forgot that I got a gift from World Market where it's kind of like a ceramic strainer thing in the mug. And I broke that, too. But I was like, oh, my God, I remember the directions on that. So apparently you're supposed to pour that water really slowly until it, like,
yes.
the first pour, just get it wet, and it's called a bloom. And I mean, it's worth time. It tastes better.
Well,
but then you got to wait for that.
The apartment I was in down in Alabama had a drip pot in it, and I never used it.
Mm-hmm.
But I got myself a gooseneck water pot, you know, electric.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a little pour-over cup with that, you know, that mm-hmm. cone device that goes over the top. And that's mm-hmm. what I did every morning. Just walk. I'd have my water ready to go, all full, in the pot. Just walk by, you know, just shamble by, half asleep. Push that button down. Get that water going. Measure out my decaf into the little reusable filter. And,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, once that water was ready and not quite boiling. Then you just take that. You take that gooseneck because you can really control the flow with it. You take that gooseneck and just dribble that boiling water over those coffee grounds ever so slowly until you achieve saturation, and then you just keep drizzling, and you wind up with this breathtakingly delicious cup of pour over coffee.
Isn't it good?
God, this is so silly. I'm. You know, my imaginary gooseneck pot is full of hot water. And so I've been sitting here. Thank God we're not doing video, because I've been sitting here holding my imaginary gooseneck pot and not setting it down anywhere because it's so hot. Wait a minute. Let me put it back on its little imaginary thing. Okay, I can unfist my hand now. God, I'm pathetic.
It's good. I mean, like, once you taste it, it's like, damn, I've been missing.
Yeah, and then I'd pour that Fairlife whole milk chocolate milk in it. And got my day started pretty nicely.
I bet you're not in a good mood if you don't get that in the morning, are you?
I mean, it's decaf, but it's just part of life. Just
see, that sounds delicious. And I've noticed that for me, I'm not using as much coffee. Now, when I make it for someone else, I have a you know, my neighbor, my extra neighbor, she likes it. I have to use like a big heaping scoop. She'd be like, "That tasted watery," but I'm like, you know, everyone's different.
Well, with the decaf and the pour over thing, I use 3 level tablespoons.
Damn, man! Oh, yes, not man. Come on.
I can't.
You're making goddamn hash.
Look, with decaf, you got to make it strong or it just don't matter. Otherwise, it's just melted brown crayon in hot water.
I can't. 3? Are you serious?
Yes.
What brand are you using?
Kroger Private Selection, 100% Colombian decaf Swiss water process.
Well, that's top quality. Damn.
And it's a medium. It's not a dark roast. It's a medium roast.
Woo! Well, what kind of coffee? When you were drinking caffeinated, then what were you drinking?
Drank a lot of Uban back then because we hadn't gotten all highfalutin yet.
Yeah, that's some. Whoa, that's rugged. That coffee there is rugged.
Back. Oh God, it was early 1992. And I forget where it came from, but I got some estate grown single source Costa Rican, and it tasted like wine. And apparently it had a caffeine content from hell, because I remember coming home and having a big cup of it and breaking out in hives.
Okay.
Wound up in the hospital that night.
Good shit.
But that was
that was the beginning
of me figuring out that caffeine could not be part of my life.
Well, okay, all right then. Let me ask you this question: since you have you run the rigmarole like a lot of us. Now, what would happen when all of us crammed at one point and did that pot of coffee? And I remember feeling like, oh my God, I'm never doing this shit again. I can't sit still. I have to poop. I have to pee. It's ridiculous. Now, were you doing that then in college?
Dude, when I worked a midnight shift at the radio station, like when I'd be home on break and stuff, two pots of coffee a night.
Woo!
And I can't stand it weak.
And damn,
so,
man.
You know, I pretty much hypersensitized myself to caffeine.
Oh, no wonder you're done. You can't. Okay. Now I understand. All right. That makes sense.
Dude, I did too much.
Your system has been super saturated.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that caffeine is just a nasty high. I mean, at least Coke is like, I don't know. It's not good, obviously, but it doesn't make you feel like that. Well, that shit is just, oh, God. Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm not into this thing. I just like, I can do like two or three cups of coffee, and that's all before 12 o'clock.
Well, all of those Kroger Private Selection coffees are very good. The Kona blend is nice.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And their 100% Colombian is just wonderful. And they've got a Guatemalan and a Venetian. You know, it's different roasts, different qualities. But Agnes seems pretty happy with them. Because Agnes is most definitely not decaffeinated.
Oh, okay. Well, then, you know what? I'm at a loss to find anything with that private selection that I have not liked. Because I found that...
And the price is right.
The price is right. Are you kidding? I get $2 regular bread, $2 all the time.
Been to Publix yet?
Because I'm getting this $2 bread. I know it's just down the street. The Publix, the Kroger, Trader Joe's, all on the same street.
You got to go to Publix for the sourdough and have them slice it for you, man. Your life will change.
That's the second time you said that.
I know. I'm living vicariously, okay? you get the sliced warm sourdough bowl. You get the spreadable Kerrygold, and you get a jar of Dundee's orange marmalade.
Damn.
And you make your coffee in the morning, and you just sit back and say, "Damn, ain't I civilized?"
See, that sounds good right now. That's what I was going to ask you because I'm not kidding. I thought about that bread, you and that bread. I thought about it this morning. I said it must be good for him to say it's better than Trader Joe's because Trader Joe's is not. No,
orders
it's not
of
bad.
Magnitude better.
All right. Then I started thinking about the way, you know, we keep the butter around here. I keep butter out.
Yeah. So oh, no. Yeah. Soft. You got to. Right. Because you don't want to be hacking at it and fucking up your toes trying to get it.
We're not doing that. No. And it's not going to be around that long. It's just fine. People don't be scared. Keep your butter out. Get good butter. Keep it out. And then some nice soft cheese of your choice, like a Gruyere or whatever, or even a Swiss.
That's the other thing. They got these little... That's the other thing. They got, you know, the little lavage qui rit. The little semi-soft processed cheese, you know, triangles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They come in a wheel. Kerrygold is doing that now.
No way. Like the cow, like the blue, what is it, the blue cow or something? The
yeah.
Cow
laughing cow, laughing cow.
Laughing cow. I have no problem with that. On a long trip, you need that shit in the car, or you need it on a train. I'm going to tell you. Now, let me say this. You know what would be cool, man? You and Agnes on a train, or whoever, your loved one. I mean, I know you and Agnes. I'm talking
Todd? Todd?
Oh, can you hear me?
I can now. So we're on a train.
Yeah, and you get the compartment, you know, with the sleep, you know, where you can sleep in there. And you bring wine, cheese, bread, snacks. I mean, you bring good food with you. And you just stay locked up in there, and you watch the world go by. And then you bring a sneaker tote, you know, and do what you can and not get arrested. But,
yeah,
you bring a
paper towel tube that you've stuffed with dryer sheets, and you exhale through that.
Oh, so you've been to the seminar. Okay.
Been to it?
Yeah.
I taught it.
It works, man. Come on. The hit towel, you put the towel on the door.
Towel under the door. Got to have the towel under the door. You got to have your travel size Osium.
Osium. Oh man. It's gone down in price, by the way. Yeah. But I try not to put myself in a situation where I have to do that. But now everything's so spunky, man. You can't even open up a jar.
No, yeah.
But yeah, man, that's fucking living. I ain't lying, man. And then, you know, when you want to get off, you get off. If you smoke a cigarette or whatever, you can get off and they stop for a while. But it's worth it. It really is. It's part of Americana. And
oh, it's even more fun if you're on a civilized train, like, say, in Europe.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but getting busy on the train is fun because it rocks back and forth anyway. You know, it's kind of fun. But things are different in Europe.
Not on Amtrak because the shitty rails will throw you into the floor. You can get hurt.
It's pathetic. We can do so much better.
Yeah, and Randy and PA says I get Amish butter. Rubbing it in.
Because you know if you've had that good stuff from Lancaster County, man, up there.
Well, see, that's the thing about down there in Alabama. You can travel 45 miles up the road, and you can get Amish/Mennonite sorghums.
No shit.
Yeah, they make their own sorghums.
Do they have fresh meat too?
I'm not so sure about that, but they got the best fried dried fruit pies you ever ate in your life.
I believe that.
Yeah, but on a fresh hot biscuit with butter, pour those sorghums over it. Woo!
I'm ready for breakfast now.
Yeah, I kind of am too. But I got to get out of here. Ran a little overtime, but I've got time to make up. I've still got. I got about 13 more hours to make up for the week I was absent in January.
Oh, I wouldn't look at it like that, but you can if you want. Anyway, you're sounding better. Everyone's glad that you sounding better. We hope you feel better. And, keep up the excellent observations and, thank God for these mysterious donors.
wait a minute. Lady B just wrote in. Been to it. I taught it. Lady B writes, I'm dead. Lady B says, I'm dead. Hit the lights on the way out. The seminar. Todd, you have yourself a good night, my friend.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. We'll see you. Bye now.
Bye.
My buddy Todd from South Carolina, Stan. Yeah, man, we cover it all, don't we? So let's get together tomorrow about 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific. Have a little Friday on the front porch. I am sad to say that we pulled up $50 short on Chris's Replace the Streaming PC Challenge. So hopefully maybe somebody in the overnight crew's got, maybe there's 5 people with $10 or 10 people with $5 or 1 person with 50, 2 at 25, 4 at 12, 50, et cetera. And I'll wake up in the morning and find out that that's all cleared, and I can go ahead and order the computer so that we can get back to a streaming PC that won't be all in my way and shit, and like this double laptop setup is right now. Thanks to all of you who helped keep the program on the air, either through as subscribers or as a la carte contributors or both. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our chat room moderators, in this case, Sparky, earlier. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live, also moderating this evening in the chat room. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.